Good to be back on the mountaintop again and be able to share and fellowship with you. Thank you for your warmth and appreciate the quartet. I was just telling maybe John before the service that I remember when Stephen John's dad sang in my home church where we grew up together in Waynesboro. And I think that he sang in the quartet, if I remember. And so I was reminiscing there. A lot of reminiscing going on when you meet people and you haven't seen them for a while. Well, today I'd like to speak on the subject of twice born and transformed. Twice born and transformed. Life can be complex. If you ever noticed about life, it can get confusing. There's ups and downs, and there's joys and sorrows, and there's emotions that are sometimes joyful and sometimes sad. Life comes and life goes, and problems come and solutions come, and questions are there, and life goes on. And it seems to get more complex, doesn't it? And that's the kind of life we're living in. But we all go through cycle in life. And God has a plan that we believe, as Christian believers, God has a plan for people's lives. And he's a sovereign God. And that's why we say we're to turn our lives over to this sovereign God, meaning he's control of everything. The psalmist says he's control of everything. He's in charge of everything. The proverb says, don't try to figure God out. Any of you join me in trying to figure God out? I wish he would talk with me about some of the things before he makes decisions, right? But it says, trust him. We can set out our ways, but he's the one that will direct our steps and on and on. Well, this month is a special month for me every year. I have two birthdays this month. I just had one on Thursday. Was it Thursday? And I celebrated my physical birth again and again and again. Another one. And it was a very special time just to remember that God allowed me to be born at a specific time to parents who wanted me and loved me. I remember my mother sent me a birthday card in my adult years. I think it was during our marital years, and she sent me a card and just reminded, you're just what we wanted. You know what that did for me? And you know, my parents loved me. I never have doubted in my whole life that my parents loved me. And I'm glad I can say that. They both died several times at 90 years of age. And I never doubted their love for one moment. And I'm thankful for that. And so that was my physical birth. Well, this coming Tuesday, I celebrate my spiritual birth. One day, as a boy, one evening, responding to an evangelistic service, I said, I would like to receive Jesus as my Savior. And I was taken to a counseling room. And when I was taken there, a man said to me, he said that I could believe that God so loved me that he gave his only son, that he died for me. And like the verse in John 3, whoever would receive him, he said, if you put your name in there, and he will save you. And you are that whosoever. And he had me pray, and I put my name in there. In those days it was Bucky, and I said, if Bucky receives Jesus Christ. And he gave me then the assurance, and he said, you know, if you really mean that, God said he promised that he would give you this salvation and eternal life, and because of what Jesus did on the cross. I've never forgotten that as a boy. In fact, to this very day, in my office at home, I have the page out of my first Bible. I shouldn't have torn the page out, but you know how they fall open and apart. And I tore the page out, and I have framed there. And he said, when you go home, have your mom write in there that you received Jesus Christ as your Savior. And he put the date on there, January 28th. And he said that you will always remember that that was the day. It's called planting your stake. And some people remember the exact time we received Christ. Others said, no, I'm not sure. Or it was a process, but I remember that. And to this day, I believe that's the first time, that is the time that I made that commitment to Jesus Christ as a boy. And I'm thankful for that. And so those two birthdays come every January. And I thank God for both, by the way. But But a third thing in my life was transformation, and that's where I want to spend some time today. Transformation. Life was going on for me in a very way that I thought I'd like to see it go. Through school, and plans were being made, and high school, and graduation, and on. I thought I was okay. In fact, I was feeling pretty good about it. And then one day, God had divinely interrupted my life in a very hurtful, deep way. At that time, I said, God, you don't know what you're doing. Isn't that terrible? I said that. I did say something like that. It's a 19-year-old. I said, God, you know what you're doing. This is the way that I... But he redirected my life. He had me now go in a different direction than I was going. He had life circumstances happen that one way stopped, and then there was a choice. So I was sitting this morning just rethinking before I came here. I said, you know, I'm just so thankful that God's Holy Spirit somehow protected me, that at that moment I didn't turn away from God and didn't want to come back on his way. It was only the Holy Spirit that did that. Because I was so deeply hurt and so disillusioned and so disappointed. But God had another way. And then he did provide that way. In fact, then just a couple years later, it was a process, maybe about 2 years I was going through there, a year and a half, and still in sadness. Inside, didn't talk hardly to anyone about it. Sadness inside, and then there was two ways that God then also made available to me. And then I didn't realize those two ways he was in charge, and I could have gone either way. The one way, if I'd have gone, if he'd allowed it that way, I'm not sure where it would have led me. I really don't want to think about that. I'm not sure it would have been very profitable. In fact, I know it wouldn't have been. But the other way, he gave me the opportunity to prepare for Christian ministry, at least to start in that way. And I had, by that time, a love for high school kids, and I was working in the newspaper business, and I was coaching baseball, and I was influenced by Youth for Christ very strongly at 19 years of age. And that trickled over, and I said, okay, God, if this is your will. And I was going to make a major step in my life, leaving Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, and going to Winona Lake, Indiana, 10 hours away, to make this next step in my life. As I look back, that's when the transformation in my life really began. That's when I really decided I want to follow Jesus. It's not easy. Giving up one way of life, going into the unknown, and saying, God, your will be done. It took adjustment. It took years. But as I look back, if I wouldn't have allowed him to lead me, if I would have disobeyed him and not said, yes, I'll do it, even though I don't understand it all, I don't know where I'd be today. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be the person that I am today. And I give all the credit to God. Transformation is an amazing thing. Have you ever realized that? Being transformed. And when we think about that, we look like in Romans 12, 1 and 2. And you know it says there that Paul said, I beg of you, I beseech you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, that's all of us, acceptable unto you, which is your reasonable service of worship. We're to give our lives back to God. We're to give our lives that he gave us here on earth and said, now there's a spiritual transaction is to occur and a transformation occur. But then it says that we are not to let ourselves get conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed. By what? The renewing of our minds. By the way, folks, this is where it all happens. This is the heart. This is where we make our decisions. This is where the will and the emotions are. And it says that once we do that and we allow him to have our lives, then we can know what is pleasing and perfect in his will. Not before. In other words, who's going to lead your life? Many Christian believers today, and I was one of them, I believed God, but I was leading my own life as a teenager especially. Even though I was going to Sunday school all the time, Steve and I were in the same Sunday school class. I said the last time I was here and he wasn't here, he always had his Bible verses memorized, and he always had the book filled out, and I had to keep up with it. He was a good scholar, good example. But we had good teachers, we had a good church. But I was still also on my path. And I had to make a decision. Well, when we look at that transformation life then, it says also in 2 Corinthians 5:17, you may know that from a reverse, old things pass away, and what happens? New things begin to come into your life. You know, we believe in progressive sanctification. That's a big term. I mean, when you start out as a Christian, then you're to grow and allow God to keep you growing and moving on to what he calls maturity, right? And so those old things begin to come out of our lives. And do we want his things? Do we want new things? Do we want him to be the Lord of our lives? Or do we want to keep control? And that's where the battle is. Who's controlling our lives? Who's in charge? Who's really the Lord? Who's really God? Who's really sovereign? Is it him or is it me trying to do? Well, as I look into the text then, I'd like for you to go to the book of Colossians. Now that's back in your New Testament letters that the Apostle Paul wrote. And you'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. What's next? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Colossians, then you're there. Okay. And as we look at the book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul was writing, as he often did. In the first two chapters, he was giving some real theological stuff. We call it Christocentrical stuff. They were centered on Christ, and especially in chapter 2, telling us who Jesus really was. And then, as Paul did, he would make a transition. And in chapter 3, verse 1, he makes this transition. It's the same idea that he did in Romans. I quoted from Romans 12. The first 11 chapters of Romans are very theological, very structured doctrine. Then in chapters 12 through 16 are very practical. In other words, how do you put it into practice? You see, Paul, when he wrote, he was very logical. Paul was very systematic. And so he wrote much of the theology of New Testament in the letters that he wrote to the people. Well, here he's writing to Colossians. By the way, Colossae may have been the smallest church in the New Testament we know about. And he wrote, I was hearing a guy the other day said, it just weren't many people at all in this local church, or a little area that he Colossae was, but yet God thought it was important to send his ministers there and start the church and to communicate to this church. But in the first four verses, really it's the first 17 verses fit together. But I don't have time doing the first four verses today. And it's that these are key verses to transformation here. And may I also say the first two of these verses are my wife's favorite verses. So I always say that. In fact, last night I said, now why are they your favorite verses again? And she told me because they meant that she was to look to God and to seek him. Look what it says. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Now, if you're really a Bible student, you'll see the word therefore, and we always ask what? What's the therefore? Now he's connecting those first two chapters where he presented the theological now and making the practical. He said, okay, now this is how you live it out. All right? And when you study Paul, you can see those transitions in just about every one of his letters. Now as we look here, it says then that these Christians were to now put into practice what he's been teaching and grow their life on it. That's really the key. I was reading that D.L. Moody, Mark gave me this saying The Word of God was given not for information, but for transformation. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? Let me say it again. The Word of God was not given for information, but transformation. It was not written to us, it was written for us. We didn't live in those days, but now we say it is alive and well. It's good for us too. We're to learn from it, okay? But it's given for transformation. What does the Word of God do to you? Or what has it done? Does it transform you as you read? Are old things passing away? Are new things continue to come in your life, spiritually speaking, as you're growing in Christ? Warren Wiersbe, the late Bible commentator and pastor, he wrote this in his commentary on Colossians. He said, it does little good if Christians declare and defend the truth, but fail to demonstrate it in their lives. In other words, walk the talk. Is it really real in your life? Will you come and celebrate together? Are you celebrating because it's real to you? That's the question. Now, as we go on here, that we see as Paul was speaking here to Christians, and that's who I want to be speaking to, you who know Christ. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, you'll see here, this is a better way of life than the world has to offer when you read the Bible. Well, that's our choice. As was said, the world says what's wrong is right, what's right is wrong, there's no absolute truth, it's whatever you think, you're your own God, do your own thing. It's totally confusing. They keep plugging on because it's so self-satisfying. But yet it's not satisfying in the soul and for a relationship with our Creator and how we were made to be. What it says here then, the Christian believers were raised with Jesus Christ. If you have been raised with Christ, I'm going to pick out a couple phrases. And so if you were raised with Christ, that means He gave you the opportunity to come into a relationship with Him and the source of the power of the living, this new life that was being offered, a superior way of life, as the book of Hebrews says. A life that's unequaled. And He said, now you can share in that. And He uses the word if. If you've been raised, and probably the better translation is there, since you have been raised. And it gives us that identification with Christ's death and burial and resurrection. And that seems to be the real question in our lives. Do we identify with Jesus and all that He did? We sing about Him. We read about Him. But do we really know Him, and do we understand what it means when we identify with Him and all that He went through? That's the question. Do we really know that He gave His life for our lives? He gave His life on the cross for our lives, for living now and then for all eternity. That's the question. And then He says, keep seeking things above. I really like this. Keep thinking, seeking things above. This is what Barb was saying, and we shared a little bit. Seeking those heavenly things. Now, we're not to be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. You've heard that saying. We're not to be so heavenly minded we're no earthly good. No. We're not to live with our heads in the clouds and not in reality. In fact, just the opposite. He wants us to live here in the reality of who Christ is, and we can be witnesses to other people and help them to come along to go somewhere with us to heaven for all eternity. That's why He kept us here. If not, when you became a Christian, you're gone, right? But no, He wants us to be witnesses. I hear people even today saying, oh, I hope the Lord comes back real soon. I'm not saying we wouldn't like to see that. Oh, I'm getting me out of this bed. Oh, whatever. Have you thought these passages here to witness that others can come along with us? Who do we think we are? Don't you realize that He said, I will be with you, and I will keep you, and I will help you, and will you be my witness? We're all missionaries, man, just in disguise. Wherever we are, work, school, neighborhood, play, whatever, social group, we're all witnesses, just in disguise. And then we're allowed to people see that by our lives, by what we say, by how we say it, how we live it out. None of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. But we can be representative of Him. We had a pretty sad week. We had two memorial services. And one was my 87-year-old uncle who died. And we celebrated his life, and he was a Christian believer. And fun uncle joining. It was fun to be with him, and fortunately we were with him just a couple months before he died in Maryland, and we had a good day with him, but he was experiencing some dementia that just got real difficult, and so we were able to spend one good day with him, and he's the last of my connections to my mother's side of the family, so I have no aunts and uncles any longer and on this earth. And but yet the thing we celebrated was he was a Christian believer. And it was so refreshing to say and shared many times with him about his church and things that he was involved in through the years and his Christian faith. And then we had another, a neighbor up the street, Doug. So not the same life at all, but a man who in his later years, he died at 79. And through the 9 years that I knew them as our neighbor, we talked and he helped me with my computer, and we met, and we were total strangers before God brought us together one day out walking, and it was just a divine relationship start. I would have chosen him to my friend, and I don't know if he'd have chosen me as his friend, but yet we did. We became best friends. And he died, and he didn't have, I think God was gracious on him, and as I shared faith with him over a period of about 9 years or 8 years, that he came to know Christ sometime in our conversation, and we talked about it, and then he started growing and wanting to talk about it and talk about it. And God received him into his kingdom. His lifestyle was different than my uncle's, but they were both believers. They both came to Christ at two different times. One as a younger man, married man maybe, and this fellow just in the past years as we talked and fellowshiped. And then the next Saturday after that, last Saturday, Barb got a message that her best girlfriend in Ohio died after her third bout of cancer. She was a devout witness for Christ. She witnessed everybody. She sent cards to everyone. She sent little sayings that you could put up in the refrigerator. She had bumper stickers on her car. She went to a convention. She was welcomed into the kingdom of God. You see, God has a way for each one. And each one of our lives, even though they may be different in Christ, and we identify with his death and his burial and his resurrection, we're to seek those things above. And then in the contrast, he says, but not earthly things. Not earthly. Look what he says here, though. Where Christ is seated, verse 1 again, where he's seated at the right hand of God. I want to say this. This is the position of authority. He's at the right hand of God. You know, Jesus is alive and well right now. Do any of you know that? And what it says is he's interceding for anybody that wants to come to know the Father. Because he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man can come to the Father except through me, John 14:6. Remember that? And then in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says he's our advocate as Christians. What does that mean? He's gone there on my behalf. Okay? He's gone there on my behalf before the Father. He's my advocate. And so he's busy doing the work that he has to do now in his heavenly position. And so it says, I'm to seek the things above where he is seated and where God is, and where that relationship with the Father and the Son is going on. And then up to verse 2, set my mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth, or earthly things, some translations say. Now, what I'm saying is this. How do I find, here's the heavenly things. Whatever God wants me, what does he want me to do? Read and study the Word of God. That's where you're going to know heavenly things. That's where I'm going to know heavenly things. I'm going to know, what is God's will? How does he want me to live? What does he want me to do? By the way, I don't know if you know it. We may go around once in life. Now, Michelob says, get all the gusto you can. But we're saying, please God, all you can. that he wants us to seek, the heavenly thing. The things on the earth are so alluring. Have you ever noticed that? It is so tempting. Don't you just want a bunch of stuff all the time? I know if you're spiritual, you say, no. Oh, come on. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard. It's getting harder. See? Because the world is so alluring. And he says, how can you do this? You have to keep your eyes on above. Now, we got to live here, but we got to keep our eyes up here. That's where the battle is, and Satan knows that. And he's going to do everything he can to discourage us or to keep us from seeing those things up here. Because the world is so attractive. It is so alluring. It is so tempting. And we have to get in that battle and ask for the Spirit of God to help. So when it says set your mind, it means concentrate. Or think about those things above. Philippians 4:8, I think, says think about those things that are good and lovely and praiseworthy and good report. Remember that in Philippians 4? And think about those things. Think about those positives. Think about those things that God would have us to think about. We're not to set our affections. I like this. We're not to set our affections on this world. Here's what Alexander McLaren said, a Bible writer back in the 18th, a commentator back in the 1800s. He actually lived. He said, get this. Don't fix your mind on something that is subject to a thousand Don't fix your mind on something that is subject to a thousand different accidents. Don't fix your affections on something that is subject to a thousand accidents. How many of you ever bought a new car? Text sold it to you. How many of you had a new car? That new car was your pride and joy, right? Man, you couldn't wait to go out and see it, drive it, show it, kick the tires. Blink the lights, put all the new gadgets on everything. But what happened one day? Someone smashed into it. You know how that disappointed you. My whole affection was on that car. It's not the same anymore. That's the way life is. That's the way life is. It's not wrong having a car. It's not wrong to enjoy things, but where's our heart? Where's our devotion? Where's our attention? Have you ever said, thank you, God, for that car? It's yours. Thank you, God, for that house. It's yours. Thank you, God, for this toy. It's mine. Yours. Thank you for this, whatever. It's yours. I'll just enjoy it. Thank you. Our affections are very important. So he said, seek those things above. Set your minds on heavenly things, on earth things. He said, you have died. Look at this verse 3. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. What a statement. I was thinking the in Christ statement. That was one of Paul's favorite statements all through his letters. In Christ. You are in Christ. That means you're in God's family. You're in a relationship with him. You've received Christ as your Savior. You've made him Savior. You've declared him Savior. Galatians 2:20, some of you haven't memorized. I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and I live for which the life which I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Hidden with Christ. Isn't that interesting? In God. We find our satisfaction in that relationship. We find our security in that relationship. We find our joy in that relationship. We find a peace that passes human comprehension in that relationship. It's very interesting when we go through life how we can sometimes find peace as Christian believers, peace in difficult times. Troubled on the outside, but inside we're saying, but somehow God's in charge. I can't explain that. Wish I could. I've experienced it. I pray for that experience that I can trust God. That peace that comes is only as we trust in him. Can't always figure him out. We don't always know why. We don't always know what he has for us. But we trust him day by day and with each passing moment. Tim Ryder said. And then in Romans, it says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And in Romans, it says there that we are predestined to become to the image, or to grow in the image of Christ. You read in Romans 8. And we are identified with him. And if God is for us, who can be against us? That's encouraging. That's encouraging. No matter what our situation is, we can trust him and ask for his help. Life gets confusing. Life gets complex. Life has its struggles, has its joys. But I sometimes just stand back and watch people and what we go through. There is a difference when a person dies in Christ physically. There is a difference when people walk the Christian life in Christ the best they can. Is a testimony for you. The difference is because they're hidden with Christ in God. I think it's in John 10 where it says, you can be sure that we are in his hands. Do you remember this? And we're not only in, I call it the double hands of security. Not only are we in Christ's hands, we're in God's hands. Insurance company says you're in good hands. We're in superior hands. The perfect God. And he says, no one can pluck you out of our hands. Does that give you any comfort to know that? He loves us that much. As I have gone through my Christian life now, many, many, many years it seems, I realize that I can always trust him and can know that he loves me. I have questioned that a few times, especially at the time when I was 19. That was the big moment. But since then, he has made adjustments to their life. And he said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. Why? Because we're in Christ in God. Now the last thing he says there, and I'll just say this quickly, he just says in verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will be revealed with him in glory. And he's apparently talking here again about when Christ comes for his church. That's our hope. That's our hope. That's the joy. It's going to come when God wants it to. Jesus said he didn't know whenever the Father told him he would come for us. Don't listen to date setters. Don't try to figure it out. Just realize that as we're going day by day, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And any moment of time, it could happen. And we need to trust him. But until then, we're to be busy about his work. We're to be busy about living for him the way he has designed for us to live. And we've been designed in many different ways to live for him. But whatever he has allowed for you, that's how he wants you. That, how he's designed for me is how he wants me to live. Where, how, whatever he asks me to do, whatever our time in life, no matter our age, by the way, no matter our age, we're always to be living for the Lord. He's given us natural abilities and spiritual gifts that we're to be using him until the time we can no longer breathe or do it. We're always to be serving him. Not an age. It's whenever we can serve him. Why? Because we're in Christ, and we're to be his witnesses to a world. I'd like to just draw our attention to a couple thoughts to apply this, to tie it together, and think through a few of these. If we say we are committed followers of Jesus Christ, and that's the question, have we truly made a commitment to him? Are we really working on saying, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to you, your majesty. Take all that I am. My lips, my voice, my love, and all that stuff. It's a wonderful song. Take that. We need to be yielding to him, giving over, allowing to have. And the more he can have of us, the more we can be used to him, be what he wants us to be. Here's my couple of thoughts. First of all, are you willing to trust God? Am I willing to trust God no matter what? No matter what. That's going to be the kicker for each one of these. No matter what. That means no matter what. And secondly of all, are we willing to yield to God no matter what? Yield to Him. That means giving over to Him. You just say, I've had people say, well, how can I do it? You just say, here's my life. Help me. Help me to give control of your life. The world says, take control of your life. God is in you. You are your own God. That's the philosophy of our world. No, we answer to a God. So, are you willing to trust Him? And then, are you willing to obey Him no matter what? Are you willing to obey Him no matter what? That's what Paul's saying in his writings here. Are you really willing to give your life and to this God and this Savior and this Lord? Are you willing to trust Him and yield to Him? Are you willing to obey Him? Willing to take up your cross and follow Him? In all the years that I've gone through, and these are familiar verses, but I have to share them. They're verses that have meant so much to me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Boy, that's where I have it. I'm a recovering type A. I just would like for God to check with me on things. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Many of you have that memorized. But do you see what it says? And I say, God, please, please help me. Help me to trust you no matter what. Help me to yield to you no matter what. Help me to obey you no matter what. I don't always know why, but you're God and I've got to believe you. I've got to trust you. I want to grow in you. I want to grow in Christ. When Barb and I got married, God brought us together in a deep way. And I said, do you mind if I have in our side our wedding bands the address, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, engraved in there. She said no. So inside our wedding bands are engraved the scripture text, Proverbs, just the address, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. That's how much I said. That's what it means to us. And so the question is, are we allowing God to transform our lives? And I say we and our, because I'm in fellow Christian. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to allow God to have His way? Life is complex. Life is confusing. There's joys and there's sorrows. There's life and there's death. There's comings and there's goings. At the same time that we're celebrating for this, our friend died, especially my uncle, who died 2 months before. He died in December, this was in January. At the same time that our friend was dying, and we found out he died, at the same time, we were in Arizona and just landed by airplane and gone to a place where he's staying to meet our great granddaughter, who was 3 weeks old, born in Alaska. Meeting in Arizona family. Isn't that how confusing life is? But it says, life will come and life will go. And we're going to be in the middle of all this. And God is the giver of life. We need to trust Him. We need to yield and we need to obey. Father, I thank you this morning for who you are. The sovereign God of all the universe, the sustainer of all the universe. The one that you've asked that we would bow down and worship. And through Christ that we can know you, as John writes in his letter, as our Father. One of your children. We're the child of the creator of the universe. Thank you for that concept. Help us to gain some understanding of that. As say that you have welcomed us into your family. And we'll welcome anyone else that will come. And may we also share that for people who are yet to come. And those who are fellow Christians, to encourage them as brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us to walk the talk, I pray. And set our hearts and our affections on things above and on Christ who is hidden with you. And through your Spirit who is now working in a very special way in our lives to give us guidance and direction and help. And even to show us where we're going wrong or the sins in our lives. That we might come clean before you. That we might be able to live for you and to worship you in spirit and in truth. With the joy that only you can give and a peace that passes human comprehension. And all of life's coming and goings, I pray. In Jesus' name.